Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Can we give a big hand once more to our cast and crew? They've been working so hard for this. Thank you so much. What I'm going to do for the next 15 minutes or so, just to give us a wrap-up and to give a spiritual focus so that the production is not just something that we like to watch, but there's something for us to mull over, something for us to consider for our own lives. So whether you are here in the main sanctuary or downstairs in the overflow, can you find a partner? Can someone beside you find a partner? Okay, we can talk. Okay, now with your partner, of the three characters that we saw in the drama just now, be it the chief or the son or the warriors with the spear, okay, now which one do you identify with the most? Ken, the father represents those who are more peace loving, live and let live, don't fight, and everybody happy. Then the son represents those who volunteer, one who will initiate. If something needs to be done, I will do it, okay? And then the warriors are those who have a strong sense of injustice. No, how can? Cannot, okay? So can you talk to your neighbor for a while, Ken? Okay, talk to your neighbor for a while. Now, perhaps some of us, as you can tell, all the characters here are all native Africans, except one who's foreign import and PR from Singapore. And perhaps you identify most with this character, my head's hauta, and you identify most with this person because he speaks Singlish. Now, regardless, even though this drama is in a culture and suppose a backdrop that's quite far removed from our modern day Singapore society, now the themes of relational conflict and tensions, retaliation and aggression are well and alive in our world. And we're not just referring to all the wars that we're seeing, be it Russia, Ukraine, that has fatalities and people die, Russia versus Palestine, or even US, China with all the trade wars and we're all reeling from the tariffs. In our own society itself, you think of the online world where cyberbullying is so rampant and so ravaging for some of us, especially the young, that when they feel the shame online where everybody sees, they don't know where to hide. And some of them, out of the distress, actually think of contemplating their lives and actually do it. And the online world where we spend most of our waking hours, as you see how some of us can out of anger, frustration, can be venting, it can be a very unkind and very unforgiving place. Within families, statistics tell us, based on 2 years ago, that every day within families, every day 5 to 6 people will file for personal protection orders because someone in the family has turned violent against them. It's not just women who are fouling, it's actually men as well. For some of us, it could be as simple as, ayo, my neighbor's noise are next door, the din and the ruckus, I can't tahan anymore, I need the government to step in. Or the dripping mop from upstairs has stained my nice fresh laundry again. I just hang out now, I have to redo all over. And as we as a society head towards the polls in the GE, needless to say, you and I know as analysts have been observing, we become more and more polarized, right, as a society, and we're trying to keep the cohesion. Be it whether, when it comes to voting, whether you are oppy or peppy, okay, meaning opposition or you favor ruling party. When it comes to gender and sexuality, whether you are conservative or alternative. Where do we begin when it comes to trying to resolve some relational tensions and conflicts, either in the home, in the workplace, or wherever we are? Now, the good news is that the Bible has an answer. If you can read this passage of 3 verses with me on the screen, okay, it comes from Ephesians chapter 2. If you can read aloud with me, okay, ready? 1, 2, go. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. The here meaning the Lord Jesus. Do you notice one of the words that keep repeating in these 3 verses is the word hostility, relational tension, In this case, it's the Jews versus the non-Jews. They can't see eye to eye with each other. They differ in terms of their food and their lifestyle and their culture and religious practices. Now, where do we begin when we face relational tensions and conflicts in life? The Bible has the answer, and the answer may surprise us. If you look at verse 16 with me again, and in one body, to reconcile both of them to each other. That's not what the Bible says. To reconcile them to God. What has God got to do with this? I'm happy with someone, or I'm having a difficulty with someone. What has it got to do with God? The Bible tells us that a more fundamental relational problem is not just horizontal, but fundamentally vertical. Meaning that unless our relationship with God is fixed or gotten right, the rest doesn't come into play, or the rest doesn't iron out, at least not according to how God designed life to be. And this problem by which our relationship with God is broken is what the Bible calls sin. How many of us, you kena COVID last time before? Can I see your hands? You kena COVID. Okay, quite a few of us. I think mine was 2-3 times. I lost count. And I stopped testing already. Okay, because nowadays, tests also live life normally, right? And the Bible tells us that each of us actually have a spiritual virus by which there's no vaccine by ourselves to take. And because this virus is rampant, the Bible tells us that infection rate is 100%, fatality rate is 100%. And by death, we do not simply mean stoppage of life. By death, we mean separation. Just as how when our loved ones pass on, we're separated from them, where our lives are separated from God as though He doesn't exist. And some of these symptoms of this virus include anger, lust, fear, you name it, so on and so forth. And now, wave at me again. Now, if you have children that you interact with regularly, either at home, if you have your own children, nieces and nephews, or regularly in your work, can I see your hands? You have children, okay? Either nieces and nephews, your own children, people you interact. Now, here's what I discover. You don't need to teach children to lie. They do it very naturally. In fact, some are very good at it. We don't need to teach them to say no, or to even hit the domestic helper. And just you think it's a young person's problem, it is a problem that stretches across generations, because here's an article by someone who wrote about road rage. And he was very honest and very transparent about his own experience, and let me read to us his own experience. He says that 2 years ago, from the article, my whole family was in the car when a reckless driver suddenly swerved into our lane. I had to hit the brakes to narrowly avoid an accident, but that unrepentant driver simply sped off. So, the smoker gas board of Malay, Hokkien, Tamil curses that spewed out of my mouth was so horrifically explicit that my children reeled back in absolute terror. For whatever reasons, I too become an incoherent screaming ape when it comes to any form of perceived or even minor mishap or misunderstanding on our roads. I was less patient with pedestrians, eager to stop other drivers from cutting into my lane, and worst of all, I was ever ready to jump out of the car for an expletive-filled shouting match at any given opportunity. Now, I'm not going to ask us to raise hands to identify, because I will be one of them, okay? It's not a young person's problem. And the good news is that there is a way to fix not just the problem with one another, but our relationship with God that's broken. And God didn't wait for us to get our act together. That's why we have Good Friday, where God came in the person of Jesus to fix the problem. So that by dying on the cross, the relationship that was broken between us and God can be bridged because of His finished work, where our sins are paid by what He has done on the cross by the shedding of His blood. And towards the end of this service, I'm going to invite two groups of us to have the greatest blessing ever that will define and even change the rest of your life. Now, for the first group of us, you are someone in this church brought you, and you're a guest. We're very glad that you're here. You're already Christian, but perhaps you have been far away from God because of certain decisions or choices you made. And today you realize that you're not here by chance, and there is a divine appointment with God, and it marks for you perhaps a first step to return to restore that relationship with God. And I'm going to invite you to respond. Okay? The second group of us are those who also are invited by someone from this church. You are not a Christian yet, but you realize that while you are having relational difficulty with someone, the first place to fix is not horizontal, but vertical. With our God, who invites you to relationship with Him, so that in so doing, the rest of your life will unfold how you relate to one another. Now, let me close with this final story before our team comes on with a song again. I share this with permission because this person in our church experienced a very major change when Jesus came into the equation of his life. His name is John, the gentleman in the middle, and here's his story. I used to be very violent and temperamental. Oftentimes, I vented my frustration on my children with kicks and punches without any reason or explanation. I would carry my sons and throw them against the wall, even throwing my children down from my lorry when they were young. Quarrels with my wife became frequent. I was from another religion back then, and I would pray several times a day. I was hoping the situation would get better, but nothing changed for 8 long years. I tried very hard to change myself, but things got worse. I even sought a spiritual medium. I was desperate for help in my marriage and life and was willing to do anything. But things got worse and I lost all hope. I was deep in debt financially and I turned to alcohol as my coping strategy. I decided to separate from my wife because that seemed to be the only solution or only way out. In 2001, after attending a church event here, we heard a sermon and gave our lives to Jesus. There was a sudden big change in my life since, and instead of losing my temper easily and using force, I began to be more patient in talking to my children and praying for them. With my wife, I learned to hold back my words and listen more to her. With God's guidance, I continue to become more of a godly father to my children and a godly husband to my wife. Now, here's how he ends his own life story. That without Christ, my family would have been torn apart long ago. But through Him, we found hope. To God be the glory. Can we put our hands together and give thanks and praise to God? What a deep change this is. Today is not Good Friday. Today is Easter. And Easter is about new beginnings. New beginnings by which when God comes into the picture, into the equation of our lives, something can change for the rest of our life. Something new by which we face the future ahead with not just hope and love, but also there is a peace that God comes to give. Because Jesus came as that peace child shown in the drama, by which we can be reconciled to God and one another, and therefore in so doing, He makes all things new. Want to hear one more song? Want to hear one more song? Let's welcome Jacqueline. going to invite us together to respond to God. And I'm going to invite you right now, therefore, just to bow our heads for a few moments in quiet prayer. And as we do so, just take a few moments now just to let all that we have heard, all that we have watched, sink in. And in this unhurried space, whether you are seated here in our main sanctuary or downstairs in the overflow, I'm going to make an invitation to two special groups of people here with us. The first are those who are guests. Someone invited you and you came along. You're already Christian, but you feel far from God. Perhaps there were certain choices you have made in the course of your life. But today you recognize Easter is a new beginning. And today marks perhaps the first step you are taking, and you know that you're not here by chance, to restore, or by God's help, for this relationship with God to be restored, so that in the days to come, you feel a certain newness for the rest of your life. And if that's you, my friend, I'm going to pray a prayer on your behalf as to mark your return. And if you resonate with that prayer, all I simply invite you to do right now is just to raise up your hand up high, be it here or downstairs. I want to acknowledge you, pray with you, and then invite a second group to respond. Here's how this prayer goes. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today as God's child. I am far away from you. Forgive me for choices I have made that turned me away. Today, by your help, I take the first step to return. Thank you for calling me. Come again, Lord Jesus, to restore the life and the relationship I once had with you. Take it even further and greater in the days to come as I follow you. So, dear friend, if that's you, came as a guest but already a Christian, and today marks the beginning of your return to God, can I just invite you just to put your hand up high where you are seated? I just want to acknowledge you, okay, pray with you before I invite a second group to respond, right? Any here at this second service, before we proceed, okay, just for a few moments, if there's anyone here, either here or downstairs, okay? Eternal God, we thank you that every time someone returns to God the Heavenly Father in relationship, you rejoice. The heavens rejoice. And this morning, therefore, if there are those who have prayed this with me, we rejoice with them, asking for your blessing and your love to be upon them, so that as they draw nearer to you, Lord, surround them with community that will spur one another on in this journey ahead. Here's the second group I want to invite to respond to God together. You are not a Christian coming in, but today you recognize that the first relationship to fix is not horizontal, but vertical. With a God who did not wait, but in fact came to us that Good Friday as that peace child. And today, in your heart, you feel that this is going to be a new beginning for me. I want that new beginning. And likewise, I'm going to invite you through this prayer, a simple short prayer, to receive Jesus into your life for the very first time and begin this faith journey with Him. Now, here's how this prayer goes. And after this, if you prayed this with me, likewise, to raise up your hand up high, I want to acknowledge you right where you are and then pray with you. Here's how this prayer goes. Dear Jesus, you have come as that peace child, reconciling first myself to you and then myself to others. I confess I'm a sinner, living my life separate from you. Thank you for the cross, where my sins are forgiven, where you bridge the distance between God and me. I ask you now as my Lord and Savior and ask you to come in. Save me from myself and rule over me, that in following you, I may taste the newness of life you came to give. So, dear friend, if that's you, through that simple short prayer, receiving Jesus into your life for the very first time, likewise, can I ask you to put up your hand up high right here, whether here in the sanctuary or downstairs, the overflow? We just want to acknowledge you. Okay? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. Anyone else? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. Anyone else? Can just keep it high for a moment, just for a moment. Anyone else? Okay. Not a Christian when you came in, but through that prayer, receive Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for how, Lord, these have become now your children, children of the living and the Most High God. How, Lord, in this fantastic journey ahead, you are with them and you promise your presence. Therefore, make your presence real and known and felt, personal, tangible, so that as this Easter marks a new beginning for them, for the rest of their life, they would taste the joy of peace with God and therefore peace with others. We give you thanks. We ask all this in Jesus' name and we say together, Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and give thanks and praise for how God has brought people into His kingdom. I'm going to invite us to stand together right now and with this closing song, let's join in this celebration that because Jesus is risen amongst us, we have hope as we face the future.
Spend some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.